The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Welcome, everyone. So today, we'll continue where we left off yesterday. And I want to give thanks to Julie and Kevin and other wonderful people who support these morning community gatherings from behind the scenes. And they tell me it's not too late to sort of change the name of this week's teaching to the Buddha's Smile. And I'm going to double down on that today. I'll even show some images of the Buddha smiling in meditation. And it's interesting, for some time, I've noticed the Buddha smile in meditation. And I've wondered to myself, what's he smiling about? What does he know? What contentment is being experienced? And because in our practice and in these teachings that come down to us, things are never one-dimensional. I've also understood that these representations, and I'll show a few over the next few days. I mean, almost any Buddha you look at in meditation is smiling. I've also come to understand that this is an instruction. It's a meditation instruction to smile when we meditate, inwardly perhaps, or I should say outwardly perhaps, but inwardly most certainly. There's contentment to be found in the meditation. And as we explored yesterday, the pleasant of the meditation, the pleasure of the meditation can be leaned into, can be supported, can be cultivated as part of the path. And the Buddha's smile in meditation, I take to be an instruction that points that direction. So let's continue with that today. Today's the second knowledge that arises in the meditation that may give rise to this sort of smile in meditation, inward, possibly outward, is the following. This meditation practice is noble and onward leading, is the way I'm going to characterize it. So let's bring our attention inward. I like to think as I close the eyes, invitation to close the eyes, if that's a comfortable part of the meditation for you. I like to think of bringing the attention both inward and downward, sort of inward in a gesture towards seclusion, downward into the body to sort of, at least initially, bring our attention into the embodied aspect of the experience of meditation. The settledness of the body, the weight of the body, the slow pace of the body, the simplicity of the body's experience can be places where we can first rest our attention in a way that opens up to greater ease in the mind. And as we settle in today, maybe we can think about letting a smile play over our features. This can be internal or external, but it can be quite instructive, actually, to give a little smile to the features. If you ever do this in a mirror with your eyes open, you'll notice that frequently when we smile inwardly and we bring that smile to our features, it actually doesn't register on our features before we crack a wide grin. There's a very gentle uplifting in the features that for our meditation today can be an expression of any greater ease that comes with the meditation. So settling in with the breath, settling in with the body, settling in with the simple knowing of experience, It's available in the meditation. We can bring our attention to greater ease and the profound message of today's teaching is that as we do so, as ease in body and mind begin to arise in the meditation, we'll notice about the meditation that it's, in the words of the sutta from which I quoted, noble and onward leading. The meditation itself generates a knowing that the mind likes to be oriented toward freedom. We don't have to create anything, make anything up. In the meditation, a knowledge that arises all by itself, in the words of this sutta, arises inwardly as a beneficial side effect of the meditation itself, is a knowing that the mind wants to be free. And here too, we can lean into this wholesome wanting to be free as a way to deepen and strengthen our practice. We can do this in the meditation, and we have this wonderful technology of the meditation that goes like this. We're all familiar with this. Oh, who knows? Maybe one or two of us, not so much, but the mind gets entangled. It gets caught up in things. It tightens up around, oh, thoughts of the future, thoughts of the past, thoughts of other people, thoughts of ourselves. And in the meditation practice, when we notice this, when we wake up to this, we bring our attention back to center. We open back up if the mind's becoming tight to here, to now, just knowing what's going on without adding anything, without judging. Just being here, just knowing this now. Every time this happens, far from being a source of frustration or agitation, this can be an opportunity to notice that with that return home, the return to center, the return to here now, we can touch base with the mind's desire to be free, this wholesome orientation toward free. This is what's meant in this second knowledge, touching in with this knowing that this meditation experience points towards freedom. So as we start to come to the end of this sit, let's reorient our attention again to what we might call the finer things. The way the meditation suggests that the mind wants to be free. And the way it, for that reason, brings our attention to subtler and subtler ways of meeting experience, ways of knowing, ways of being, ways of meeting our experience. The finer things of life, the meditation suggests, aren't things. And we can keep tuning into this direction that the meditation presents us with, an orientation toward peace, towards ease, towards a presence in our lives that's unmediated by projection and clinging. And this too, this orientation toward freedom, is something that we can bring with us into the world of interaction, the world of our daily round. Sort of keep it always in mind. Yesterday, talked about just meeting experience with some of that greater ease that the meditation provides. Today, we can also think about meeting the world with an orientation toward freedom that the meditation suggests. Who knows what that means when we meet a particular situation? That's to be discovered. Meditation provides a potential. A propensity, a momentum.